This is a long-term process. We've just got to remember that. You know, at the end of the day, for the first time, we've got a longer bilateral conversation going on between both the federal government, the two state governments, and the territory government about the future. But the thing that excites me is really the possibility that communities right across the north, the pastoral industry, for example, is starting to talk much more seriously amongst itself between West Australia, Northern Territory, Queensland. Indigenous leaders are talking amongst themselves about big issues facing them in this agenda. What's going to work is if North Australians actually start to get their own views of the future together, to partner up with researchers and research and evidence-building organisations, and to start to build that into a bit of a policy framework for the next generation of North Australia policy and delivery. Things are happening now in terms of roads and water and other development work under the white paper, but it was really just a start, and it's got to be something in the future that's more about a long-term partnership with North Australians, and that's where I think we have some opportunity.
Now, that white paper is 3 years old, Alan Dale, and the signatures on the bottom of it were Prime Minister Tony Abbott, Minister Warren Truss, and Minister Andrew Robb. None of them are around the Parliament anymore. Is the political will and, more importantly, the bureaucratic ability to implement the vision, realise the promise of Northern Australia, actually there?
There's a commitment now to move towards the Ministerial Forum. The CRC for Developing Northern Australia is in place. We've got the North Australia Infrastructure Facility and its basic structural arrangements are in place. The Office of North Australia has also now just come to full contingent. It takes time to get these things going, and I stress to people, it is very crucial that those institutions are up and running and functioning on what should be seen as a long-term agenda. So I'm positive because the foundations are in place now, but the real opportunity is when the people of Northern Australia, traditional owners, the industries, communities and regions start populating that opportunity with the big policy issues they face, like the future of energy and security and affordability of energy across Northern Australia, like what is the future and the key focus of development in the pastoral industry, like really making sure there is solid Indigenous-led development arrangements right across the north for that 90% plus of the landmass that has some sort of Indigenous rights and interests. We have to populate that. If we don't, it'll be a government agenda, it'll be over in 5 years, and we'll have this again in 10 years' time.
Alan Dale from the Developing Northern Australia Conference, thank you very much for setting the scene of our discussion here. And certainly when you've touched on some of the challenges that remain, but when you talk about the achievements, one of those has been very much being able to include the Indigenous voice as part of this conversation for the first time about the future of Northern Australia. Melissa George, you represent the Northern Australian Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance. What does it mean to you to be on this forum and have the platform that it gives?
Well, I think being engaged in this forum is obviously very positive. And for the last 3 years, Aboriginal and Islander people have been engaged through this mechanism. But I think in the scheme of things, you know, when the rubber hits the road and when there's some real commitments given to how Indigenous people are engaged in this process proper, I think will be when we can kind of say whether it's an opportunity or not, because at the moment it isn't an opportunity for us.
So. And what do they want? What are some of the examples of the types of development that traditional owners themselves could lead?
People have different aspirations for their estates, and I think we need to kind of recognise that, you know, it isn't all about protecting country through conservation and the environmental outcomes. I think we need to be really clear and recognise that Aboriginal people want different forms of development, whether that's, you know, pastoralism, mining, some people may want gas. You know, these are decisions which people need to make for themselves. And the only way that we can support them to do that is by providing effective information for them to make those decisions. But I think one of the, you know, biggest things is kind of supporting people to plan effectively for the whole of their estates. So number one, they can make decisions around what development is, and then in doing that sort of determine the futures for their mob and for their kids. Because we need to be really clear that, you know, what is set in chain today, as we know, is going to have future impacts for young people on country. And if we don't set the parameters right and give people an opportunity to ensure that they're aware of that, then we could end up in the same or higher levels of disadvantage that we've got.
Melissa George from the Northern Australia Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance, thanks very much for talking to the Country Hour today here at the Developing Northern Australia Conference in Cairns. Joe Morrison, you're the CEO of Northern Land Council. Is native title the bogeyman in the room that it's often couched as when talking about developing Northern Australia?
Oh, well, believe it or not, it hasn't done anything to stop progress and development taking place in Northern Australia as it has in other parts of the country. But I would suggest that it has, in fact, created a burden upon Aboriginal people to prove their connection and to prove that it's continuous. And also the abhorrent nature of native title means that if a third party wants to develop anything on native title determined lands, then people have got the unwieldy question of whether to suspend that native title or to have that extinguished. And that is one of the most unfortunate outcomes of native title, is to have your native title rights extinguished forever.
One of the mechanisms set out in that legislation is the framework for Indigenous land use agreements. Is that working?
Well, we've seen recently some changes to the Native Title Act go through federal parliament last week, in fact, and that has unfortunately, I believe, allowed for a system of decision making to potentially bring into question the local decision making process. And so there is obviously lots of pressure on Aboriginal groups to make decisions about large developments, and we hear here in Queensland that the Adani coal mine proposal is one of those proposals. And we've also seen some issues arise in the southwest of Western Australia. But the question for me in all of that is why people are opposing their authorisation, and it's really got to do with this notion of extinguishment. That's the reason why people have been saying no to authorising land use agreements. And so that is the fundamental matter that I think the Australian Law Reform Commission has recommended to the Australian government to rectify some of those things. And that's going to be very important in developing Northern Australia.
And beyond that legal framework, Joe Morrison, back to the vision of Northern Australia, are you confident when you come to forums like the Developing Northern Australia Conference that the Indigenous factor will be included in that vision?
Well, you've got to hold that hope. I mean, I've been coming to these forums for a decade and a half, and I do think that we're inching closer to having some formal recognition and or respectful relationship with governments, both Commonwealth right down to the state and territory level. But there's a lot of work to be done, and we do require leadership, and we require leadership within the community itself to be able to get past this impasse that Aboriginal people are only spectators to developers. In fact, they should be developers in their own right, not just okaying third parties and international multinationals.
Joe Morrison, thanks very much for joining us on the Country Hour today. Andrew Freeman from AgForce Peakbody in Queensland, you're sitting around the same tables as Joe Morrison, thumping your fist, wanting to have better outcomes for pastoralists who are trying to navigate through the uncertainty of land tenure. What progress is being made?
Well, I think in recent years we have seen, you know, I guess some pathways to potentially freeholding land, which does give pastoralists and in some Indigenous people in some circumstances the capacity to freehold. We probably need to see more of that in North Australia, as it is one resolution that you can find to those tenure issues if people have a certain ownership of that land. And I think the thing with leases is that there is still the conditions that can be put on them about diversification into different types of agriculture and even tourism activity.
So beyond land tenure, what else is holding back the cattle industry and agriculture more generally across the Northern Australian landscape?
The vegetation management issue is always there. The capacity to use high-value agriculture and that purpose under the Vegetation Management Act in Queensland remains. It was suggested that it should be removed, and that was one of the things in the bill that was put to the Parliament. That's been defeated at this point. But, you know, it is always a spectre, I suppose, that capacity is lost, which means that, you know, producers can't, you know, develop certain parts of that land. Now, you know, it's always been applied in a way that they've had to meet certain fairly strict environmental conditions, and that there's a range of criteria that have to be met before they can actually, clear that land to turn it into cropping or agricultural purposes.
Agriculture has year on year experienced growth in net export value for the past 7 consecutive years, but it's been acknowledged on the floor of the conference today that private investment is just not keeping up with being able to facilitate that growth. What more would a body like AgForce like to see to get private investors to the table?
So I think the thing with agriculture, in particularly in Queensland, is what we hear is that there's a bit of reticence around to actually invest in Queensland because there seems to be a bit of an air of there's some risks. It's getting just a bit too hard, you know. If you go and do propose a project, you're going to spend a long time with a lot of opposition coming at you and probably a lot of time in the court. And that's not the way we want things to operate in Queensland. We want it to be attractive for investment. We want to be attractive to develop agriculture in North Queensland. And like Bernard Salt said this morning, there's a huge market out there. There's plenty of space. People in North Queensland should be able to benefit from that. And, you know, it's jobs and economic development for everybody that wants to participate in that in agriculture.
Andrew Freeman from AgForce Queensland, thanks very much for rounding out what essentially has been a speed dating of the Developing Northern Australia Conference here in Cairns, continuing today, where some of these discussion points will be continued on the floor of the conference.